this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
With our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, it's just that they know so much that isn't so.
Welcome to the Red State Town Hall program. I'm your host, Primo Mondone. My co-host, Ken Brown, will join me in a couple of minutes. Please visit the show's website, redstatetownhall.com. While you're there, be sure to like us on both Facebook and Twitter, which contact us. The email address is Primo, P-R-E-M-O, at redstatetownhall.com. Our show is broadcast here on Red State Talk Radio, America's premier grassroots conservative internet talk radio network. The show is also syndicated through iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Podomatic, TalkStream Live, Player.fm, Roku, and at least a dozen other websites. You can listen to the station using their Android, iPhone, and BlackBerry apps. Visit the station's website, redstatetalkradio.com, to download the appropriate app for your smartphone. If you don't have a smartphone, you can listen using any phone on the station's 24/7 listener line provided by TalkStream Live by dialing the following. Studio A, 605-562-4209, and for Studio B, 518-712-0045. Before we start the show, let's give a shout-out to our AM, FM, and digital affiliates, WDDQ, FM 92.1, Adel, Georgia, WSFB, 1490 AM, Talk 97.7, FM, Quitman, Georgia, WJNW, AM 1650, Herman, Tennessee, Talk Radio, AM 1620, KTFL, Gilbert, Arizona, WMQL Radio, FM 105.5, Brevard, North Carolina, Kaufman County Talk Radio, AM 1680, KCTR, Terrell, Texas, Expo Radio, Gainesville, Georgia, WCNR, Digital, West Virginia, and K98Talk.com. Now, let's bring on my co-host from Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Ken Brown. Mr. Brown, how you doing today, sir?
Well, happy Super Bowl Sunday, Primo.
Yes. Pulling for the Broncos and pulling for Peyton Manning. Of course, he was Tennessee's most famous ball, I guess. I'd like to see him do well. I'd like to see him get another Super Bowl ring, and that way he'll have two just like Eli, and then he can retire if he wants to, or he may stick around another year or two, I don't know. But I got a funny feeling if he were to win this one, which I don't know if he's going to or not, but if he were to win this one, Ken, that he could, if he go out on top, get that second Super Bowl ring, and then announce his retirement, you know, a couple of weeks later. So I hope that's what happens. But
well, I'm pulling for Peyton, too. I think a lot of people are. The guy's a class act. He just is. If he doesn't, when he gets through with football, he's so funny to me. I think he's got a career in television. One of my favorite all time scenes on Saturday Night Live is when he's teaching the kids how to sportsmanship and stuff like that.
I watched that the other day and sent it to a friend that had never seen that. I said, "Oh, you're kidding." And so I sent him a link to that, and I watched it again, and it was so funny. It's just
God, if you haven't seen it, you need to YouTube it, because that is one of the funniest skits I've ever seen.
Yeah, it goes totally contrary to his persona out in the public. It's just
he hits that girl. He's talking about teamwork. Okay, teamwork, everybody on three. Yeah, teamwork. And he goes out and and he's doing a little scrimmage, and he throws at a girl and hits her in the back of the head, and she falls down. And he goes, "You suck."
And there's another kid. He throws it. I think he hits him in the back because he didn't turn around.
Yeah.
And he tells him to go sit in the porta potty.
The porta potty. Yeah. Time out in the porta potty.
Time out in the porta potty. And then he's sitting there trying to teach him how to break into cars.
Yeah.
And the cops come. He goes, "Cops." You know, and he starts running. All the kids start running with him. It's,
gotta go.
That's good. Good
that's
stuff.
My favorite all time Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, like I say, he is a class act. He's I wish him the best, but the Carolina Panthers look like a really good team though too. So I don't know how it's gonna work out. So
we talked about it before the show, and I just think it could be a blowout, and I hope it's not. I really hope it's not, but. They need to play. Denver needs to play the best defense of the season, and Peyton needs to control the ball.
Yeah, and see. I went yesterday, got my beer and my hot wings and my pizza. So I'm ready.
Well, I hope that you're enjoying the game. And I hope I am too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping it'll be a good one, but we'll see. We'll see. Anyway. Let's get started. Got a bunch of stuff to cover. One article that I wanted to bring up, we're not going to talk about it really a whole lot, is this first article. And the rest of the stuff is all about the election, of course, mostly, and the debate. But the first article is one from the Daily Caller that's on redstatetalkradio.com. It's an exclusive story they have about secret Fed docs show that Obama misled Congress during public debt limit hearings. And again, you need to read this to understand the full complexity of this thing. But basically, of course, our president lied to us, lied to the American people, lied to Congress about where we are on the debt. And as you know, Ken, we talked about this, I think, last week. I mentioned that the debt clock on the website was approaching $19 trillion. And in fact, come to find out, the actual debt, which, of course, the debt clock is just estimation. You don't really know for sure, but it's pretty accurate. We crossed the $19 trillion mark last Thursday. We didn't know that when we did the show last Sunday, but I knew we were getting close, and we were. We actually were over $19 trillion. So now we're $19 trillion in debt. And
aren't we like unfunded liabilities? Isn't it like $200 trillion or something? Isn't it crazy? Nutty?
Yeah, unfunded. And here's another thing, you know, we talk about millions, billions, and trillions, and I know people get lost on that. And I've put links on the website before to show you how much a billion is versus a trillion and that kind of thing. I saw a thing the other day that made more sense that's real easy to, you don't even have to have a visual. You can just get this in your head. A billion, if you had $1 billion and that was seconds, do you know how long it would take you to get a billion seconds? Do you know how long it would take? it'd be like something. I forget. It was like 3 or 4 days. Okay.
Okay.
A trillion seconds. You know how long that'd take?
I'm afraid to ask.
It's over 30 years.
Oh, good gosh. Yeah, that's a good analogy.
That's a good analogy. That makes it to where any idiot can figure that out. It's like, Jesus.
3 days to 30 years. Yeah.
Yeah, a few days versus 30 years. And that's the difference between a billion and a trillion. And we're at $19 trillion. So, again, if you were to convert that to seconds, it'd be 30 times 19, which would be what? Whatever the hell that is. It'd be under 600 years? Under like 500 some plus years?
That's how at what point is it too much?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, about 10 years ago, something like that, whatever. But yeah, it's ridiculous. We just keep going, and you know, and let's get back into let's go ahead and talk about politics and the debate. Who the hell's talking about this other than Rand Paul? Oh, he's now out of the race. Now Rand Paul's out of the race, so he's not. You know, But nobody's talking about the freaking debt. At least
nobody.
I mean, they'll make a little comment about it, but they don't. Nobody's making a big issue out of it. I don't understand it.
Because you're telling me before that people like to spend. Even the Republicans like to spend.
Yeah.
And it's not their money. You know, it's easy to spend somebody else's money, Primo.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the one thing about Rand Paul I really liked, and that's the guy had his ear to the ground, and he knew that, hey, we can't keep doing this. And he is a conservative. Now, he's, you know, foreign policy is a different story, but conservatively, Rand Paul is right up there with anybody.
Well, I've always said, even his father, Ron Paul, when it came to domestic policy and the Fed and stuff like that and spending, I kind of lean libertarian on some of that stuff.
I do too.
But again, the foreign policy thing, the libertarians always lose me on foreign policy. They just do. And that's probably not going to change. But, Rand Paul's the only one that seriously took the debt and the Federal Reserve seriously. I mean, everyone else, I think, just gives lip service. Even Cruz. And, you know, everybody who listens to this show knows that Cruz is a, you know, pretty big, I'm pretty big with Cruz, and so are you, at least, you know. Now, we might vote for some other folks if we had to, but, I mean, both of us would prefer Cruz. And, by the way, Cruz won the Iowa caucuses, edging out the Trump and Rubio. I think the final tally was, I'm not getting the percentages, but basically it was 28% for Cruz, 24% for Trump, 23% for Rubio. And then the next closest person was Ben Carson at 9. And, well, let's go ahead and talk about that, too, about Ben Carson. CNN had a report in the middle of the Iowa caucuses. The votes were still going. And CNN had a report that Carson was suspending his campaign, going home to Florida. Supposedly, I guess, for a change of clothes or something. He was not going to New Hampshire. He was not going to South Carolina. And they made it sound as if he was suspending his campaign, as if he might be quitting and dropping out, which was not the case. But CNN put this on the air live during the Iowa caucuses. And Cruz's people started letting everybody know, hey, looks like Carson's out. So, you know, you need to come with us, kind of thing. And the thing is, Rubio's camp did this too, but you don't hear any talk about Rubio's camp doing it. All you hear is about Cruz and how crooked Cruz's people were. Excuse me. But here's the thing. CNN is everybody's trying to blame Cruz for this, but the real problem was CNN. Excuse me. I'm in trouble with my throat. And the thing is, it's not Cruz's camp or Cruz's responsibility to be going around correcting CNN. CNN needs to get their own recruiting, their own reporting handle themselves, right?
Yeah, CNN's got the responsibility. But you know what? They don't like Cruz. That's the reason. Cruz is not the establishment, so anytime they get a chance to pick on Cruz, they're going to do it.
Well, that, and then here's the thing, too. What was the big story coming out of Iowa? Not really the fact that Cruz won, and the two big stories were that Trump did not win. He was expected to win by a large, pretty good margin, at least some people thought he would. And secondly, how surprisingly Rubio did, because Rubio was polling around 15% and he finished up with 23, so he's 8 points higher. Well, yeah. You know, if think about it, the biggest story of the night was the third place finisher, not the guy who won first. And that has to do with, like we talked about, the mainstream media, they don't like Cruz at all. They can't stand him. And, well, most of the GOP can't, a lot of the GOP establishment can't stand him. I mean, he is not a popular guy on Capitol Hill because he doesn't play along kind of thing. That's just not the way he does things. No. And some people think that's a good thing, and some people think that's a bad thing. So, matter of fact, there's an article from the American Spectator on the website, and it's entitled "Panic at the GOP Yacht Club," because the people in the GOP establishment, they're starting to get worried. And I found out just the last few days, Ken, why they're so worried. It's not just that they think that maybe Cruz might do better than they're all thinking he would do. Is I did not know this until just recently, the last few days. Cruz has a lot more money than I thought he had. His fundraising has been really doing well. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm getting letters from Cruz like crazy, emails, every day, two or three times a day. But my point is that I heard a thing on the radio. I think it was Hannity, but I'm not sure, that he had more money than I think it was like Bush, Rubio, Christie, whatever, three or four other people in the race combined.
I've never heard that. That's the first time I've heard it.
Well, I mean, like I say, that's the first time I'd heard it too, and it surprised me. I knew he was doing pretty well with the fundraising, and I always thought that Bush had the most money, and we've talked about this before, that, hey, Bush can stay in through New Hampshire, he can stay in through South Carolina, he can stay in through Nevada, and he can stay in through Super Tuesday if he wants to because he has enough money. But if this is true that Cruz has that big of a lead in the money, then that means he's in it for the long haul. He can stay in it past Super Tuesday, which is a big deal because most of these guys are not going to have money after South Carolina. Like for example, in the debate last night, the GOP governors actually did pretty well. They probably had their best debate. You had Kasich, Bush, and Christie all did pretty well. And what I'm getting at is that will allow them to still get some contributions if there's hope. And if they finish well in New Hampshire, they have to finish well. But if they don't, let's say, for example, Kasich doesn't do well, which right now Kasich's toward the top. Trump still leads. I think Kasich is second. But let's say, for example, he doesn't do well on election night. Then his hopes dry up because Kasich is not going to do nearly as well in like South Carolina, Nevada, Super Tuesday states. They have to perform well in New Hampshire to go past that. And that's why Rand Paul got out. That's why Mike Huckabee got out after Iowa, because they realized, well, we didn't do well in Iowa, and we're not going to do well in New Hampshire. We're wasting our time. We're wasting our money. We're out.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of hated to see Rand Paul go for the very fact that we talked about was that he was one of the few people who talked about the debt in the Federal Reserve. And
yeah,
I don't know. What do you think is going to happen in New Hampshire with based on, and we'll talk about the debate some of this too, but based on what happened in the debate, based on what the current polls are saying, et cetera, what do you think is going to gel out there?
Well, I'm interested to see how they talk about Trump has got such a huge lead, you know, doubles the next person. So I'm interested to see if that really happens. Is he that big a deal in New Hampshire?
Does it translate to votes, in other words?
Yeah, because I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'm not either. Because think about Iowa. He finished second, which is fine, but everybody predicted, pretty much most people thought he'd finish first, and they thought that if there was a big turnout, which they had the biggest turnout they've ever had in Iowa, they thought that would benefit Trump because he has these huge crowds. Well, those huge crowds did not show up to vote.
Yeah.
Even though there was more, they had like 180-some thousand people in the Iowa caucuses, which is like, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 above what they normally have. And by the way, the top three people, Cruz, Trump, and Rubio, the amount of votes they got would have been the most votes by any Republican candidate ever in history in Iowa because the huge turnout. But the huge turnout benefited Cruz. not Trump. Of course, it benefited Rubio, too, at least to a certain extent.
You think that Trump is, you know, how you're in whatever town you're in Iowa or even New Hampshire, and Trump comes to town, and you go to see Trump because it's a spectacle. You know, it's
the circus has come to town.
Yeah, the freak show. So you're going, and plus he gets on. I want to see him get on the media, you know, and get on the hecklers and those kind of things. And that's fun. That's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And although I'm not going to vote, you know, I don't care about voting, but I'm going to go watch. So there's, you know, 10,000 people or some outside waiting, and but they're not voters. They're just spectators.
Yeah. We've talked before about when the debates are broadcast. People show up to watch the debates that probably have never watched a debate before or very seldom do. And I think that's kind of the same thing that goes when he has these huge crowds. You got people showing up. Like you say, the circus is in town, so let's go watch the circus. And I don't know if these people are voting, if they've ever voted. If I think you got people showing up that are just it's kind of like watching a train wreck kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's you got a lot of curious people, and you got a lot of rubbernecking going on, and you know, like when you're on the interstate and there's a wreck, everybody's sitting rubbernecking, slowing down, looking at what's going on. But how many people are going to stop and help? Very few.
Yeah,
you know, it's that sort of thing. At least I think so.
So this—that's the thing—is New Hampshire going? If he goes in there and blows people out. And, you know, and the second place person is way below him, then the polls have are true. But the polls weren't true in Iowa.
Right.
They were on there.
The thing is, in New Hampshire, he should win by 20, 30 points or whatever, according to the polls.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, let's say Trump wins, but he wins by 4%. Then that gives everybody beneath him a little bit of life, you know. But if he actually shows up and gives them a 20 or 30 point drubbing, then even the people who came in second and third will have to start wondering, well, I don't know if I can continue.
Well, and we talked about this before the show, but when you listen to Donald Trump and the debates, you get the same old, same old. There's no depth to what he says.
No, I said he wasn't even good, and I made the analogy, he's not even good topsoil for your garden.
No,
he doesn't go very deep, and I don't think he has a really good understanding of a lot of the issues. He just, I mean, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. His campaign is nothing but a bunch of bumper stickers.
Yeah,
he's not thought this stuff out. I don't think.
Well, even the moderators last night said, "Give us specifics," and he doesn't do it.
He rarely or seldom is able to do that. Because again, I don't think he's really thought these things out. He has his own gut feeling, and he just kind of goes with that and says that. And for a lot of people, apparently, that's okay. You know, I'm not one of those people. I like to know a little bit about, well exactly how are you going to do that? I mean, when he talks about, he's always saying, well, if Trump is president, America's going to win again. That's like, well, that's good. Okay, so how are you going to do that? And you'll be waiting a long time to get specifics on any of that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is I want more from that from my president. I don't want to repeat what we did this last time and just elected a celebrity. I don't want that.
No, I don't want a deal maker in there that's going to make deals just to make deals. I don't know what this guy really wants. I mean, he says he's conservative, but then again, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, he was a liberal in many of his views.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what it's a crapshoot, and I don't want that. I mean, I know what Cruz brings to the table because he's shown me. But this guy, I mean, I'll vote for him if he's the nominee. I'll definitely vote for him over whoever the Democrats have, but I really would rather a tried and true, you know, politician that's been in there a while and has fought the system.
Well, I want someone who is firm in their beliefs and knows what they are, and they've actually sat down and thought about this stuff and can give you reasons as to why they feel the way they do about whatever. I don't see that kind of depth from Trump. And I hate to say it, ladies and gentlemen, if you're for Trump, that's all fine and good, of course, but ask yourself, what is this guy's core beliefs? What does he really believe in? I don't know.
Well, yeah, even when Jimmy Carter said that he would rather have Trump.
Well, yeah, he says he would rather have Trump because he's more malleable. In other words, he can be bent to the will of whatever. And he says Ted Cruz isn't. Well, that's, to me, that's an endorsement for Cruz.
That's exactly what that's why I want Cruz. If Jimmy Carter will make that kind of statement. And knowing Jimmy Carter, and I'm from Georgia, and I'm almost 58 years old, I know Jimmy Carter. And he says that, I don't want Trump.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Hey, we're running a little late, of course. Let's go to break, and when we come back, we got plenty more to talk about. Stick with us. We're going to talk more specifically about the debate and what happened last night, and should be fun. This is the Red State Town Hall. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Cleveland.
Hi, this is Jeff Carlisi from the band 38 Special. The mainstream media has failed the American people once again. Internet radio networks like Red State Talk Radio will not fail you. Tune in 24 hours a day, studios A and B. Great conservative programming around the clock. Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in internet conservative talk radio.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom36.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 36.com. Go to freedom36.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom36.com.
The path to restoring our republic was laid down by our founding fathers. The principles of freedom, liberty, personal responsibility, and limited government are conservative ideals we will never abandon.
America is listening.
Grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio. It's on the internet. Tune in now. Red State Talk Radio, featuring some of the most popular internet talk show hosts in America today. Are you listening? RedStateTalkRadio.com.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-400-1756 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-400-1756 to take your call now. Call 800-400-1756. That's 800-400-1756. Again, 800-400-1756.
Tired of the same old blah, blah, blah of traditional conservative talk radio?
We know that under the 29% rate, the U.S. economy is 40%.
Then tune in to New Media's Talk Monster for grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio, Red State Talk Radio.
What if all wartime spending is paid for through the deceitful and evil process of inflating and borrowing?
WRS Digital,
Cleveland, Tennessee.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-554-7159 and get your free bottle. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-554-7159. That's 800-554-7159.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots.
That's what freedom is all about.
Common sense.
I would be willing to use waterboarding.
Conservative talk radio.
Big spending, liberal.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Commerce.
Okay, we're back. Thanks for sticking with us. Before we get into the GOP debate, let's bring up another topic that I want to be sure and bring up at least a couple of things about the Democratic side of the deal. There's a lawmaker, I don't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but there's a story from the Daily Caller says that he's never read anything that's more sensitive than the information on Hillary's top secret emails. And in the town hall that Hillary and Bernie had the other day, which, by the way, Martin O'Malley has dropped out of the race, which big surprise there. He was, I think his Iowa caucus total was less than 0.5% or right at 0.5%. So Martin O'Malley, former governor or current governor. Hell, I don't remember if he's current governor or former governor of Maryland. Hillary was asked about the FBI investigation into her email stuff, and she said she was 100% confident that nothing would come about all this. And I'm thinking, well, there's just another lie. There's no way in the world she could be 100% confident. I don't care. Now, is she 100% confident that she won't go to prison? That might be a pretty good bet, because I find it hard to believe that the Obama administration, that their Justice Department will actually charge this woman with anything. She should be charged. Anybody else, like we've said this 1,000 times, if it were me, if it were you, we'd already be in handcuffs and leg irons and orange jumpsuits. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I don't think the FBI is going to have, the FBI is not going to have any choice but to recommend that she be prosecuted. But whether or not they do it or not, whether or not the Justice Department does it or not, that's a whole other story. But so you got that going on. You got the situation where the Democratic establishment now, according to The Hill, a story on The Hill, the Democratic establishment is starting to gang up on Bernie Sanders. Because he's not only did he and Hillary basically have a tie in Iowa, it looks like he's going to win New Hampshire handily. And here's the thing that scares him is that I've told you this before we're on the air. You know, when he first announced his candidacy, Hillary Clinton was at 60% or 70%, whatever she was, and Bernie was at 4%. Well, you know, he had these large crowds. He started doing better. And in December, Hillary was still leading him like 61 to 30. It was 30 or 31%. I know it was at least 30%. I think it was 31. So I think it was 61, 30. But now, in national polls, not just New Hampshire polls, national polls. Matter of fact, Bernie's way ahead in the New Hampshire polls. But in the national polls, Clinton is ahead 42 to 40. And there's a margin of error of 4.5%. So it's within the margin of error. And In December, she was ahead, like I say, 30 points, Ken. Now she's ahead, supposedly, 2.
I think, and I've told you this before, I said, you know, if Bernie Sanders would go after her for the emails and the Benghazi, if he went after her like the Republicans go after each other, he'd be in the lead. He'd have been in the lead a long time ago.
I think so, yeah.
But he backs off of that stuff, and I don't know if he's told to do that, or it's like you don't cross that line. Who knows what they tell each other in the Democratic Party? But it's almost like you don't really want to win, do you?
I'm wondering if when you think about it, I'm wondering if he's doing that on purpose, hoping that he can get the VP slot because he didn't want to tick off Hillary too much. Because here's the thing, Bernie Sanders knows. I mean, at least he should know, unless he's just a total idiot. As a Democratic Socialist, he cannot possibly win a general election. I don't give a damn how many people show up at his rallies. His rallies are always at college campuses and in the Northeast Corridor. I'm telling you what, he shows up in Birmingham, Alabama, or Dallas, Texas, or Atlanta, Georgia, Charleston, South Carolina, he is not going to get thousands of people showing up for him. That just ain't going to happen.
No. And if you look at it, it's almost like it's the whole thing's rigged, isn't it? On the Democratic side, is that, okay, no one comes out except Martin O'Malley and Bernie Sanders, a Democratic Socialist, self-proclaimed, and Martin O'Malley's a relative nobody, then... It's a Hillary Clinton show, but I mean, Joe Biden, you've got a shot there, buddy. I don't know why he didn't take it. And I think it's just one of those things where they go, okay, it's Hillary's turn.
Which is what usually the Republicans have done in the past.
Yeah.
It's always usually the Republicans were considered the old white guys club. And everybody took turns based on how long they've been in the party and how long they've been, you know, whatever. And it's like, okay, it's your turn. You're up. And the opposite is true now. I mean, we've got all these candidates in the Republican Party. We've got 2 Hispanics, a black, and we have a female too, Fiorina, who, by the way, I'm telling you, she should have been in the debate last
time.
Because she did better than several of the other people. She did better in Iowa than some of the other people who were in the debate.
Yeah.
So,
What about Hillary's statement that she's not establishment because she's a woman?
Oh, yeah. That was rich. That was rich.
This, a woman that's not establishment who's been, I mean, politician, how much of her life? The last 40 years?
Little last, yeah, whatever. Yeah. and then the one that killed me too was the thing about the Goldman Sachs. Like, well, was it a mistake to take $675,000 from Goldman Sachs for 3 speeches? Because she goes, well, that's what they offered.
That's what they offered.
You know, it's like, well, hell, would you turn it down? You know, it's
kinda, yeah.
Which, by the way, that's not how that stuff is done. She has an agency that books her for these things. And the agency negotiates on the behalf of Hillary with whoever wants to have the speech done. And that's how they arrive on the figure for each speech. It's not necessarily that Goldman Sachs just throws out a freaking number and she, of course, accepts. That's not the way that stuff works. That's just ridiculous.
Primo, she was broke when left the White House. Don't you remember that?
Well, maybe she was, but I tell you what, in the past few years, I think I saw an article that she and Bill together have collected, get this, $153 million in
the foundation.
Well, $153 million just in speech fees.
Ooh,
speaking fees, $153 million.
That's amazing.
Now most of that, Bill Clinton got most of that, but still.
And we don't even know how much in the foundation, right?
Well, yeah, that's a whole other ballgame. I mean,
this woman's a liar. Watch, watch her. They talk about lying. When people lie, watch their expressions, watch their face, watch their eyes. And every time she's asked a question about the emails or Benghazi or the foundations, watch her face. Watch her. She'll turn away. She'll look away and she'll blink her eyes. And she does it every time. And that's exactly what liars do. This woman is a liar and a criminal. And she has no business being the president of the United States. None whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't know. But you know what? It could still happen. I mean, you would think that, I don't know. I tell you, this is one of the most, you know, I thought the last election season in 2012, I thought was the most important election in my lifetime. And at that time, it was. But this one's turning out to be a humdinger. I mean, there are so many angles to this thing. So much going on here between the Republican field and the Democrat field. I mean,
well, this FBI thing, I mean, if that's true, there's 150 agents on this deal with her. This is the point I'm not real clear on. You're saying, and I think I've asked you this, is it the FBI that they make their findings public, or they just turn it over to the DOJ?
No, what they do is they make a recommendation whether or not to indict or not. In other words, should you be pressing charges on this person? Should not? Have they violated is it sufficient evidence to show they probably violated the law and should be charged with a crime? They do that. And then the Justice Department decides whether or not to actually prosecute that. And that's really, I hate to say it, it's a political decision at that point. But the FBI has let it be known. They've leaked this to the press that if they recommend an indictment and the Justice Department does not indict her, does not charge her, they're saying they're going to leak all the evidence they have against Hillary Clinton to the press, which that is not normally done. Normally, the FBI keeps a tight lip on that sort of thing. And what the FBI is broadcasting to the whole world is like, basically, they're already saying it. This woman needs to be indicted. We've got tons of evidence. And if the Justice Department doesn't do it, we're going to let this crap out. And everybody's going to know what she did. And so,
well, I think that will happen.
Well, here's the way I look at it is, it's a positive thing either way. If the Justice Department indicts her, that's fantastic. Because then she'd be trying to run for president with a federal indictment hanging over her head. But if they don't do it, it'll be as big a scandal. It'll be a bigger scandal than the scandals that she's being investigated for. The fact that they don't do it will be a huge scandal. And plus, when the FBI, if they do like they say they're going to do, leak all this information out, and so that everybody who pays attention knows what she did and all the lies that she told, that's almost as good as an indictment. She'll be indicted in the realm of public opinion.
Well, I hope they do it. That's the part I'm not real sure about. I just wonder how much pull Obama has in the FBI. Because if he does not want her indicted, how much control does he have over the FBI?
Well, see, like I say, they can't make the indictment anyway. All they can do is recommend that she be indicted. And from what I understand, Director Comey is pretty independent and pretty. He does what he wants, and they say he's a good director. They say he's on the up and up.
Well, so, I hope so. I hope that's. I mean, I have faith in my country that the cream will rise to the top,
but to a point.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much to really put in. This is all just talk right now. And you and I both know this woman belongs in jail. So will it happen, or will if DOJ doesn't go after her, which they probably won't, will that stuff really be leaked?
Well, I hope the DOJ goes after her, and the reason is, I'm telling you what, it'll be one of the happiest days of my life, adult life, to see her being perp walked to a federal courthouse. That would just tickle me to death. I feel like I could die and go to heaven.
I just don't. I don't see Department of Justice with Loretta Lynch.
Yeah, that's well, and then it's been proven over and over again. The Department of Justice takes Obama's lead on everything, and so I find it hard to believe they wouldn't indict her. I mean, I have no faith in Loretta Lynch. I don't.
No, no. Well, I mean, she's a puppet.
Well, she's Eric Holder in a skirt. I've said this 100 times. She is. And she has no independence, no. She does what she's told. She's a soldier.
Yeah. But if, unless there's this, you know, the alternate plan is to get a Biden-Elizabeth Warren ticket, you know, kind of thrown in there at the last minute. I don't know.
Well, like I say, whether or not, could they even possibly qualify to be on the ballot in all the states? I mean, if they don't, what are they going to do?
I don't know.
I mean, if it goes that long. In a way, the FBI thing, they say that it's going to happen almost any day now. They're talking about it would happen in February and March is what I keep hearing, February and March. And most people say February, which we're already in February, of course.
Here we are.
And but you know what? If they waited to, say, July, which is like just a couple of months before the before the convention, when's the convention? Is it July or August or whatever? Whatever. Let's say June. Let's say June. May or June. They wait till May or June. Let's take it a little further. And then it looks like Hillary's going to win. At that point, Super Tuesday's already gone. And let's say she's just trouncing Bernie Sanders. Let's just pretend she's just way ahead and she's going to win the nomination. And then boom, they decide that she needs to be indicted. And whether they do or don't, I mean, that just throws her a hole. And then, of course, at that point, if Biden or Warren or anybody else tries to get into it, they're not going to be able to get on the ballot. And so if they can't get on the ballot, how the hell are they going to run against whoever the Republican nominee is?
The Democratic convention is in July 2016.
July. Okay. All right.
In Philadelphia.
Well, we only got 5 minutes left. Let's talk about the GOP debate. The governors did well in this one. I thought Kasich actually did pretty good, had a positive spin on things. Bush did pretty well, and the reason I think he did as well as he did because he didn't have to go after Rubio. Christie took care of that just fine. I think he owned Rubio. Rubio, I think, had a disappointing debate. Last few debates, he's done well, but I'm telling you what, he did. The whole thing with Chris Christie talking about how Rubio is always just throwing out these memorized little lines, you know, 25-second blurbs that he has.
Yeah.
He did it. Christie called him out on it, and then when Christie called him out on it and Rubio responded, he did it again.
Well,
verbatim. I'm thinking, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first time that Rubio, I thought, got caught way off his game. I don't know if he was – I thought Rubio was smarter than that.
Well, Rubio seemed scripted last night, and he never seemed scripted to me until last night. I mean, he always was like, whatever question you ask him, he would have an answer that's off the top of his head. But last night didn't seem that way. Just didn't –
Do you think maybe his handlers got to him and said, hey, look, we need to play it safe now. You're in a good position. Here are the lines we want you to say. You just keep saying this over and over again. And, of course, they didn't know that Christie was going to bring that up. And I think he didn't know what to do.
Yeah, he didn't.
Caught him off guard. I mean, but once Christie acknowledged the fact that he was repeating the same thing, and then he did it again, I thought, what the hell is wrong with you?
And then Christie said, there it is.
He goes, he's right.
Yeah. He was right. Yeah. I'm not a Christie fan at all.
No, not me at all. But he did well. Christie did himself a big favor last night.
I still think that people forget that this is the same Christie that hugged Obama.
Well, I hadn't forgotten it.
No. But I'm saying that you need to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he was for Sotomayor, you know,
yeah,
and he says he wasn't. I mean, that was that's a flat lie.
Yeah, man. Well, Chrissy has a little bit of trouble with the truth too. Like
yeah. But if he'd be called liar, went to his face and you let him off the hook. He was, Rubio looked out of sorts.
Trump and Bush went out a little bit. What'd you think about the deal where Trump told Bush to shut up and he got beat?
And he put his fingers to his mouth and shh.
Yeah.
Well, he got booed because, and then he said, "You know, Trump, he plays on the crowd." And the crowd, he said, I think it was Trump said they were all planned. They're all, you know,
Bush supporters, et cetera.
Yeah, plants, you know, from Bush and I guess Christie too, for that matter. And it sure seemed like it with that crowd up there.
Well, I actually read an article. I told you before we went on the air. I read an article and something about Trump did not get his share of people in the debate. Supposedly, I didn't know he did this. I just assumed you showed up and whichever campaign had the largest people show up for the debate would get in or whatever, first come, first serve. But apparently, that's not the way it's done. Apparently, each candidate gets so many slots in the crowd where they're campaign donors and you take your big campaign donors, make sure they get in the crowd and whatever. And, but apparently Trump only had like a small number compared to everyone else. And that was what Trump was talking about when he's talking about, it's just all his, you got all your supporters here. You got all your donators here. And that's why you're booing me because my guys are not here. I don't have that many guys here. And, I didn't know for sure what he was talking about until after the debate. And I saw a couple of stories about it. So, I was surprised that actually goes on. Of course, I really shouldn't be surprised. It's just, you know, politics is just so dirty anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's the establishment there. But what about the beginning with the introductions? What a
screw up was that? Poor old Ben Carson in the wings. He just kept getting passed up by everybody. Apparently, Trump got passed up. Yeah. Then you had the spectacle of Carson and Trump standing there, and they thought they were going out, and they weren't. And then Bush comes out, and Bush had to shove Trump out of the way to get out there. What a flubar was that? I mean, that was just...
it was messed up.
I mean, can't you get that? That ought to be pretty simple, don't you think? I mean, you go right down the line, don't you? You know, just...
Man, they couldn't hear in there and all the clapping and stuff.
I guess.
Obviously.
That hadn't happened in any other debate. I'll say that, you know, so... real quick, we only got just a few seconds left. What did you think about Trump sticking it to Cruz on his closing statement?
He doesn't lose he never misses an opportunity, does he?
Typical Trump. It was, and I literally started laughing. And even though I'm a Cruz supporter, I thought, damn, the guy is good. You have to give it to him. he's good.
Yeah,
at that kind of stuff. He just
that's what his people like.
Oh, I know. Hell, I liked it, and I'm a Cruz guy. I thought, geez, you can't even do a closing statement without taking a jab at somebody.
that's why he's helped this whole process for the Republicans. He's been a boost energy wise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And people have tuned in that wouldn't tune in. So. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, let's just see if they show up in New Hampshire to vote on Tuesday. We're out of time. You want to take us out, Ken?
If we lose freedom here, there is no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. Ronald Wilson Reagan, our 40th president of these United States.
That's it. We're out of here. We'll see you next time.